message on the elders in 1 Peter chapter 5, which I'll show you tonight. But starting in verse 1, 1 Timothy chapter 3, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, but covetous, well, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children subject him with all gravity. For if a man not know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So tonight we talk about the office of a bishop. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would use your word in our hearts tonight, and just as we learn and grow, Lord, it'd be a blessing to each of us. And that, Lord, we would honor you. We love you and commit this service to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's start with this word bishop tonight, because it's not a word that we use much today because the Catholics stole it. And so when we hear that word, we immediately think Catholicism. But it is a Bible word. And the Greek word behind it is episkopos, where we get the word Episcopalian. I don't think we have Episcopalians in New Zealand. I think that's an American thing. I think it's actually the American equivalent of the Anglican Church. But because Anglican is British, you know, there was that thing that happened back in the 1700s. So anyway, you know what I'm talking about, eh, Claire? Anyway, so they chose not to carry on with the name Anglican. Now they call them Episcopalians. And that's from the Greek word episkopos, which is translated in Acts 20:28 as overseer. So let's turn there quickly, Acts 20, verse 28. And what we're going to see tonight is, this is very interesting, the office of the bishop has three Greek words and five English words, all describing the same office but showing the different aspects of the office. So this word episkopos, here in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." So that word overseers is that word episkopos, which is translated as bishop here in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. So this word, if you go over to 1 Peter 2:25, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, it's a word that's also used to talk about our Savior. Notice it says, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." So even Jesus in the Scriptures is referred to as a bishop, which makes sense since he's the overseer of our soul. So that word... and by the way, you can see shepherd and bishop joined together, which we'll explain later. But that word episkopos reveals one of the three primary responsibilities of a pastor as given in 1 Peter. So if you're still in 1 Peter, look in chapter 5. And we're going to see tonight that this passage here in 1 Timothy 3 and the passage in Titus chapter 1, which is a secondary passage on the qualifications of a pastor, all tie into these three primary responsibilities. Number one, verse 2, feed the flock. So we're going to see that everything either ties into feeding the flock, or number two, take the oversight thereof, being an overseer, or number three, verse 3, being an example. So if you, we're going to find that all these tie into those three primary responsibilities of either feeding the flock, being an overseer of the flock, in other words, leading the flock in God's direction, and then being an example to the flock. So the bishop, or slash overseer, which is episkopos, ties in to this overseer part, to oversee or to lead the flock. Now the second name is the name that we typically use today, and that's the name pastor. That's in Ephesians chapter 4, if you want to turn there. Anybody want to guess how many times the word pastor shows up in the New Testament? One time. Isn't that interesting? We've been talking on Monday nights about the name Holy Ghost versus Holy Spirit. And how we always say Holy Spirit, that shows up 5 times. Holy Ghost shows up 90 times. And yet we tend to call him the Holy Spirit. This name, English word pastor here in Ephesians 4 verse, wrong chapter. He gave some, verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. That's the only occurrence of the word pastor in the New Testament. The word behind it is the word poimen. And the meaning of it is shepherd. And if you go to Ephesians 13:20, we will see this same Greek word poimen translated as shepherd. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. That word shepherd there is the same Greek word, poimen, that's translated as pastor in Ephesians 4:11. So two Greek words so far, episkopos, which means bishop or overseer, and poimen, which means pastor or shepherd. Now, how does that tie in with one of the responsibilities? Well, as pastor shepherd, that's the feeding part, isn't it? Feeding the sheep, which we'll talk about in a moment. And then the third one is in 1 Timothy 5:17, which we looked at recently when we were going through chapter 1. Oh, no, we haven't gotten to chapter 5 yet. What am I saying? We'll get there. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. So the third English or Greek word is presbyteros, and I'm not a Greek scholar. Where we get the word Presbyterian from, which is quite interesting. And it means literally an elder. And it's not talking so much about age as it is about spiritual age or spiritual maturity. So that ties in, of course, with the example part of the three primary responsibilities laid out for us in 1 Peter chapter 5. So we've got three Greek words, episkopos, poimen, and presbyteros, and five English words, bishop, overseer, pastor, shepherd, and elder. Got all that? Everybody's looking at me like that's too much. So if you look at Acts 20 again, just quickly, and then we'll move on. I just wanted you to get this very interesting fact about these Greek and English words. Verse 17, we find out who Paul was talking to here in Acts 20, verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. So now we know who he's talking to here in Acts chapter 20. He's talking to the elders, but down in verse 28, look what he tells them, which we looked at, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. So there we have elder, overseer, and feeding, all tied in together with Paul's farewell speech, if you will, to the elders at Ephesus. So that's quite beautiful. So let's walk through our passage tonight then. Here in 1 Timothy 3, and the first thing we see is the example part, being an example to the flock as an elder. We see all these character requirements, and it's quite a list: blameless, husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, good behavior, hospitality, not given to wine, no striker, which means a fighter, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, which means contentious, and not covetous. And then there are a few additional ones if you go to Titus chapter 1 and verse 6, which we'll eventually get to. But we'll probably refer back to tonight for that. But Titus chapter 1 verse 6, there are some additional character requirements not listed here in 1 Timothy. I'll just read the ones that are additional. Where are we here? Not soon angry, not given to filthy lucre, lover of hospitality, lover of good men, just, holy, temperate, and not self-willed. It's quite a list. The list that keeps pastors up at night, let's just say. So all of those are character requirements, which is the example part. As an elder or a presbyteros. And as an elder, he is to meet these character requirements, but also, notice in verse 6 of our passage, 1 Timothy 3, a couple of other things. Not a novice. So he can't be, you know, fresh out of high school type of thing and straight into the pastorate. Or verse 7, have a good report of them which are without, which means he can't have a bad report in the community either. Because a lot of times pastors also have to work secular jobs. So that is the first thing we see from 1 Peter 5 is the example part, and that's quite a list. And of course the second one we see, verse 2 of 1 Timothy 3, is apt to teach. And so that's where we find that first requirement for 1 Peter 5, which was to what? Feed the flock as a shepherd. Feed the flock, which he lists as the most important in 1 Peter 5. And we saw there in 1 Timothy 5:17, you want to turn there again quickly, talking about this apt to teach and feeding part. It says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. So there's the feeding part, laboring in the word. And doctrine. Doctrine is another word for truth. And then also, when Paul was saying farewell to those elders, look at Acts chapter 20, verse 27 this time. Talking about his own ministry to them, look what he said. Verse 27, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now don't ask me how he did that in a year and a half. That's pretty amazing. They must have met daily. That's all I can say. They must have had church all the time. Because how do you give people all the counsel of God in a year and a half? But he did. Like I shared with you recently, I've preached in this church for almost 22 years, and I just reached the halfway point through the scriptures. So that means it takes 40 years if you're going to walk through verse by verse. Paul did it in a year and a half. So that man was almost superhuman. And again, they probably had church every day, all day. But anyway, so apt to teach, feeding the flock, being an example to the flock as an elder, feeding the flock as a shepherd, and then verse 4, ruling as a bishop. Which remember, Peter said, taking the oversight thereof, Paul referred to them as overseers. And that is the, if you look at Ephesians 4 again, that is the work of the ministry part. Back in Ephesians 4, we only looked at verse 11. But notice what he said. He said God gave those things, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So God calls people for that purpose. That first phrase, desireth, I've often struggled with that one. I've never met a pastor yet who said, this is what I want more than anything. Every pastor I've ever met said God called them into the ministry and said, this is what you're going to do, and then gave them a piece about it later, right? Faithful to see the call with you who also will do it. Most people are quite reluctant at first because, well, it's such a huge responsibility and, you know, public speaking and all that. But I guess there would be some. But he's to be the overseer, to rule. And this is as a steward, as we've read, of God. That we saw that in Titus. If you want to look at it in Titus 1, verse 7 again. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward. So who's he the steward of? Well, he's the steward of his flock. If you look at Hebrews 13, we can see this. So God has made him responsible. It's a huge responsibility for his flock to feed them, but also to lead them, but also to protect them, which is quite amazing when you think about it. But he says here in verse 7 of Hebrews 13, "Remember them which have the rule over you, have spoken unto the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Verse 17, "Obey them that have a rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." Look at this next phrase, "as they that must give account." Ouch. "Give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for this is unprofitable for you." We've talked about in 1 Peter 5 that looks like the pastor's crown. It probably comes down to that accountability for the flock. If you want to look at that quickly, I'll show you. 1 Peter 5:4, most people refer to this as the pastor's crown or the elder's crown, because that's what the passage is about, verses 1 to 3. Verse 4, "When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." So it's most likely the crown for those who watched for souls and have to give account. So we got through that passage. But it's quite a list, isn't it? And it's a great passage to help us as God's children. When a day ever comes that we need to choose a pastor, God's given us a good list of job requirements, of character requirements primarily, in his word, in these two passages, pretty much exclusively, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1 are the character ones, and then 1 Peter 5 is the responsibilities one, to feed, to oversee, and to be an example. And then that word bishop, what does it mean? Anybody remember? It starts with O. Overseer, right. Good job. And what's the Greek word? No, kidding. What's the Greek word? Episka something, I like that. Episkopos, where we get Episcopalian, which just means overseer. Presbyteros means elder. So what is a presbyteros? In a couple of the pastoral epistles it says that we'll see later where they laid hands on them, right? Where there was a board of, it's a board of elders. And that comes from the word presbyteros. And that's why the Presbyterians adopted that, because that is their church polity. If you look at the structure of the Presbyterian church, it all revolves around a board of elders. That's why they have that name. I don't know why the Episcopalians chose their name. Just to be different, I guess. Anyway, the office of a bishop. What an amazing passage next week. Whew, we get to pick on the deacons. That'll be much easier. All right, let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. It's so beautiful, so amazing. It just leaves us never in the dark in any aspect of our Christian lives or of our church function, and we just thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, that each of us would strive to obey you, but also to please you with our lives.